WrestleSpective Radio is not affiliated with World Wrestling Entertainment, TNA Wrestling, Ring of Honor Wrestling, or any other sports entertainment entity or personality.
You're listening to WrestleSpective Radio. Learn to love it.
Hello, and welcome to WrestleSpective Radio at fairtoflare.com. And you are listening to the Main Event Project, and we're going through all the WrestleMania shows right now. And today we are going to talk about WrestleMania 14, the main event of Shawn Michaels against Stone Cold Steve Austin. And my guest today is Mitch from Pizza Body Slam and also fairtoflare.com. How you doing, Mitch?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So WrestleMania 14, this was a pretty big deal back in the day. Of course, you know, WrestleMania, they're all pretty much big deals, but this one especially. I mean, this really, you know, kind of turned the corner. I mean, obviously, it kicked off the Austin era as far as Austin being, you know, the champion and, you know, being on top the entire time. And it was obviously, and it was Shawn Michaels' last match for, you know, 4 years. So really, you know, kind of a transition between the, you know, early to mid 90s crew of, you know, Michaels and Bret Hart really being the top main eventers, and of course Diesel and, you know, and those guys. And now, you know, it's into the Austin, Mick Foley, of course The Rock and Triple H, and The Undertaker kind of being the guy who bridged the gap. But so a big transition period.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Very much so.
So I don't know, my memories of this were a little bit different than the actual match itself. Like I guess, you know, just kind of thinking about that, you know, obviously Michaels had his back injury and and of course, you know, forced him to retire basically. I remember that him like showing that back injury and like limping through the match quite a bit, but I didn't, when actually watching the match again, that was only pretty much a small part of it. I mean, he really did do a lot of bumping, did a lot of like his old, like, you know, his old style. I mean, it might have slowed him down a little bit, but it wasn't too much.
No, not at all. And like, I don't know if you went from watch, like I you know, this was the first match I kind of went back and rewatched for the WrestleMania main event. And you know, like having, as far as Shawn Michaels matches go, like in my recent memory were his, you know, like matches from the past few years. So watching him like move about the ring and bump like a pinball, like just bouncing all over the ring like that, like you didn't even, I forgot until Jerry Lawler mentioned that he had the injured back. Like it was one of those things where you're like, how is he doing what he's doing with like the back injury that puts him out for so many years?
Yeah.
So that's that. I found that to be really impressive and also kind of shocked that like it wasn't a huge part of the story.
There wasn't really it's not like Austin like worked in the back or there was anything made of it. I mean, it was just kind of, you know, it was just kind of there, but yeah,
and it was really, it was more really like common in knowledge or something like that's about it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it wasn't really a focal point of the match. I mean, really, it was mostly, you know, Shawn working Austin's knee through a lot of it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
kind of
building to the figure four. You kind of kept going for the figure four, and then Austin would like kick out of it and like would do, you know, different things, you know, kind of knocking him into the corner. He kind of got a quick roll up on one of those. And then eventually, you know, Shawn getting the figure four and kind of working the ropes for leverage, like a good heel. And that's kind of like the ref completely missing it. And then of course, Mike Tyson being on the outside, you know, being the special enforcer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, you know, before we really get into the match, we should really kind of set up the background for people who don't know. But basically, yeah, the you know, Shawn Michaels was champion. This was about 5 months after the big Montreal Screwjob. And if you're listening to this and don't know what the Montreal Screwjob is, I don't know why you would be listening to this. But anyway,
download the wrong podcast.
Yes. So Michaels came out, had, you know, been the big heel, he and DX for a while, and they'd been very, you know, controversial, and he'd been champion, had a feud with The Undertaker for a while, and then transitioned into this. Austin was, you know, he'd already kind of been the hottest character they've had for a while. This was just kind of, you know, this WrestleMania was basically his coronation of being, you know, of becoming, you know, reaching the mountaintop, becoming WWE champion for the first time. And it was, you know, it was inevitable. Everyone knew it was going to happen, yet everyone was excited about it. And then the big wild card being Mike Tyson, you know, the fact that Mike Tyson was a, you know, the biggest deal in boxing still at the time, even though he was past his prime, and really brought a new audience to the WWE that was, you know, had very much become a more edgy Attitude Era product. That they're definitely, you know, full swing into that now. They've kind of been teasing it for, you know, a year or two here and there, but now, you know, the kind of the whole shebang, you know.
Yeah. And to go back quickly on, you know, Austin had, he'd already had, like you said, been the hottest star they had for a while, but this was kind of at a time where the one way to get a guy legitimately over and that you knew that he was the guy was to have him win the Royal Rumble and go to WrestleMania to win the title.
Absolutely.
And it was kind of like a straight up thing. And like, while people were expecting it, it was still the right way to do it. And it still did it, you know, in a way that got him even more over, if that's even possible.
Yeah, absolutely. But
like, in like, not to bring up like what's going on right now too much in this, when we're talking about this, but I find that what's going on now is, I find that there's a lot, almost too many options. There's too many ways. You know what I mean? Where like you can win the Rumble, but you can, there's two titles and it, you know what I mean? Like they've kind of opened themselves up a little bit too much, it seems like. While when there was only one path, even though that, you know, everyone knew where that path was leading, it was one that was so, you know, tried, tested and true that it worked.
Yeah, I mean, there's more paths, there's more ways of doing it now, but none of them are quite as effective as like back when there was just one way. And even if you knew it, that's an interesting thought. You know, there's definitely some merit to that. I mean, you know, it does become formulaic when you have every, you know, it is nice to vary up that formula every once in a while. But on the other hand, I don't think the idea of a new, you know, of a star. I mean, if Austin had come around today and had been as hot as he had been then, he would have, you know, he would have been champion already, you know, in 97 at some point. I mean, they would have pulled the trigger then, but they,
for sure,
there was more patience then, you know, even though they were, you know, obviously in the midst of the huge Money Night War and were, you know, even at this point still behind in it, although they'd gained some steam. I mean, right now was the, you know, WrestleMania 14 was right at the point that was kind of the turning point. You know, and the build to that was definitely the turning point, and then they started, you know, beating WCW in the ratings and then just exploding in popularity in 98 and 99. But one thing that, you know, like obviously, you know, Austin was, you know, was really on fire, and then Tyson, you know, just the first of all, the idea of teasing Tyson versus Austin, which they definitely did, and then they,
for sure,
and then you know, and obviously Tyson's involvement, I mean, he was on a few Raws, he did some key angles, I mean, he was a big part of this. Do you think that Michaels, like, do you think he was really like a key element of this working, or do you think that like any credible main event heel would have been able to kind of fill that role?
That's a tough thing to say, but I think it, well, it kind of had to be him, just almost from watching the finish of the match and how like everyone does remember the stunner and the pin and everything, but I think more people remember everybody wanting Shawn Michaels to get punched in the face by Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're at the very end of the match, they're circling each other because Shawn is upset that Tyson turned on him, and the crowd is begging Tyson to punch him out. And when he does, it's like as big of a pop as when Austin won.
Okay.
And so I don't know if there's like if you could pin like that on another guy on the roster who would at that time who would have been as good of a heel to sell that, just wanting him to get punched out. I don't know. He just acted like such a dickhead, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, I mean, I think the thing is, they didn't have anyone, really anybody at a main event level like that could have like filled that role at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Like I kind of like, my parallel was kind of like King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2. I mean, you were fighting you were watching Hulk Hogan, you know, overcome an injury and beat a monster heel. It didn't matter who it was. I mean, it could have been Kamala, it could have been, you know, it could have been Big John Studd, it could have been any number of guys, but there were not that many of guys who would have been able to fill that role that Michaels did.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there were, like, I think Michaels and Tyson, like, I think that there was some good chemistry there, and then Tyson kind of be like being part of this like outlaw renegade group. Like, if for instance, like, if like they had, instead of choosing, they had chosen Bret Hart over Shawn Michaels and decided to keep Bret and fire Michaels or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, if, and that was, the original plan, I think, was Bret and Austin at WrestleMania, with Bret, you know, putting Austin over.
Right.
So I wonder how Tyson would have worked in that context, whether that would have worked as well or not quite as well, or even better. I mean, there's obviously no way of knowing, but I just wonder, like, I just wonder if Michaels, how much he really mattered here. I mean, you know, he mattered as far as the match. And I mean, he, like I said, he was like, you know, the number one guy left to do it that would have worked. Cause I mean, you really couldn't have done it with Undertaker, even if you had turned him heel, just because that, you know, that dynamic wouldn't have worked, and you know, they didn't really have a whole lot of other guys. I don't, you know, Foley wasn't like quite like, he kind of was like made afterward. You know, Triple H wasn't there, Rock wasn't there, so
he was. Yeah, Shawn was the only guy for sure. Yeah. But like, ultimately, the story wasn't, I hope someone beats Shawn Michaels. The story was, I hope Stone Cold Steve Austin wins the title.
Yeah, and I hope Mike Tyson doesn't prevent him from it. And I hope that, you know, I hope that he and Mike Tyson get into it, and then he beats up Mike Tyson or whatever, which didn't happen. Obviously, it was the turn instead. But
yeah, it was such a weird, like, I was going to ask you about that, like, what you thought of the actual, you know, ending itself with, because at the time, like, I was, okay, this was 98, so I was 12 years old.
Okay.
And I just, like, loved Stone Cold Steve Austin, so that was great. I was like, I'm glad Mike Tyson punched him in the face and Austin's the champion now. Like, that was all that mattered to me. But the actual, like, if you were to look at, like, I just rewatching it, like, I was wondering, like, how much of it actually made sense. What did you have any, like, issue with, like, how it came about?
Well, I mean, there's obviously, like, there's stuff. I mean, like, Tyson overlooks some of Shawn's cheating, like, with the figure four and with a couple of other things outside, and he
throws Austin back in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, but like, none of that stuff was like, it wasn't like they got into fisticuffs and he was like beating, then like he like bloodied Austin and then later like turned on him, or like, and then was in his favor. You know, it was more like, it was more like incidental stuff, so I didn't like feel like it was too.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel like it was stuff that was like, you know, going against logic to make it a surprise. I mean, it was basically like, you know, like, basically it was stuff where, like, Tyson was sort of doing his job as a ringside enforcer, but he didn't care if guys cheated. Like, he was
right
because he didn't. I mean, well, it wasn't like he lectured Austin at any point either. You know, about something. I mean, it was more that Austin just didn't really overtly cheat, other than just, like, you know, beating him up outside and, you know, just the kind of the brawl oriented stuff that Austin always did. Yeah. That would have been illegal in a different era, but in this era it was fine.
No, there was no rules in this match. Like, what I found a funny spot was like Shawn Michaels like hits Austin with a cymbal. I think Triple H interferes like right in front of the ref's face. Like, all these things happen, and then like Shawn is giving like closed fist to Austin, and the ref is like counting him off. You're like, why are you counting the closed fist but not Triple H punching Steve Austin in the face, or cymbal getting hit? I don't know.
That's true. Well, he did toss Triple H in China at one point. So he was, you know, the referee was, you know, after a certain amount of interference, he was willing. You know, enough was enough. The shenanigans were up, but
it's time for a change.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I thought was interesting is that Jim Ross does his best to like almost oversell Shawn Michaels as like one of the greats of all time. Like, he actually does call him the greatest WWF champion of all time. And he also makes reference to, it's amazing the number of guys who Michaels owned in their prime, without actually naming any names, although I guess Kevin Nash and Bret Hart would be the guys that would imply
immediately go to for sure.
Right. Although it's not like there's a whole lot of other guys really that, you know, you could say that about. I mean, it's just cause Michaels wasn't really on top that long. But
this is, that's a key point. That's a key like sign of the time for sure. Like, where the heel in the situation isn't just a coward or a bully. He is good at what he does.
Yeah,
and that's harder to come by now. But like, it still exists. But like, this was a time where it was definitely more of like, because it was more sports oriented. Like, the both guys who were fighting for the title had to be deserving of it in some way.
Yeah.
So, and, like,
yeah. And Michaels had the credibility of just being the great athlete and being the guy, you know, the guy who could always have the best performance, which is sort of, which is an entertainment thing too. But I mean, I you know, they worked it in as in the wrestling context of just, you know, his resiliency and his just ability to, you know, just, you know, his, you know, his athletic skill and just his talent was, you know, he was, you know, and obviously it's, you know, it's building up Michaels to obviously, and then Austin beats him, you know, he beats the, you know, and then he's at that level too. But,
Yeah, that puts him there.
right. I just thought it was interesting. You know, I mean, obviously they're very much, you know, the scars of Montreal are still there, and they're very much in the deep in the WCW war. It, you know, just interesting the mindset at the time. But I don't know, what did you think about as far as, you know, the story of the match? I mean, it was, you know, it was kind of, it was actually more like they did like more conventional wrestling than I was kind of expecting.
It was really, yeah, it was kind of slow and prodding for most of it, if
Yeah.
for I don't know, I guess that's a good way to describe it.
Right, yeah,
But
methodical, you know,
yeah.
and even Austin, like he works like a knuckle lock early into the match, and like a, you know, he does a stun gun. I mean, and you know, just kind of, you know, then it kind of gets more into the brawling, you know, like they do a lot of things where, you know, they counter each other's stuff a lot as far as like, you know, Sean like tries to wrap Austin's leg around the post, but then Austin like pulls him in, and you know, and then like, Austin slams Sean into the barricade, then Sean backdrops him over and then nails him with a bell, and you know, stuff like that. So
Yeah, a lot of ringside brawling, a lot of on the outside. Just I think to like get Mike Tyson involved and to have him like right in the picture with them.
yeah, which made sense.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like the I think I found the most exciting spot besides the ending, which went over like crazy at the end, was when Sean gets bumped off the apron and hits face first on the announce table. I don't know if he is just that good or if his face did just smack off the table because it looked incredible.
It did really look really good. Yeah, he has another like really big, he does another big like over the top onto the floor bump like later in the match. I mean, yeah, he does three or four really big, super huge, you know, things. And yeah, and it's not like, yeah, it's like I said, the selling of the back's really minimal, man. It's just kind of a little bit during the figure four spot. You know, you can just tell he's kind of, you know, a little slow, and you know, I think Lawler and Ross both make mention of it at times, you know. But yeah, and of course we do get the obligatory Shawn Michaels has to show his ass thing. Although they pretty much got that in pretty early. So
Oh man, I was just to quickly, I was watching the start of the match with my roommate, and well, first like we had a Hogan Warrior on just for fun to just watch a bit of that, and then I put this match on, and one of the first things that happens is Shawn Michaels gets his pants pulled down. I was like, well, that's a good start to things, and I don't know, it's just a funny way to start. My roommate doesn't really watch wrestling,
Yeah,
so
that's a hard one to explain to somebody who doesn't really watch wrestling, you know. It's kind of a hard one to explain to anyone, really, but
Yeah, I'm still questioning it myself.
yeah. So yeah, well, I mean, obviously, yeah, it kind of, you know, obviously well, we talked about the beginning, and then there's, you know, they kind of do a lot of brawling. Tyson gets into it, and then it's kind of like Sean working the knee and trying figure fours and trying different moves, and Austin countering some of them, and then getting, you know, going for quick pins or something like that, and then Sean kind of taking back control and then working the knee more, and then he ends up getting, after a few attempts, he gets a big figure four, which we mentioned, and then of course holding onto the ropes, and then eventually Austin manages to overcome it, and then Michaels gets a sleeper, and then we get a big ref bump.
Ref bump.
And which is interesting, like the ref bump comes like a decent, usually, you know, when you do the ref bump, you'll have like, you know, right after that, you'll have one guy hit the finisher on the other, and then, you know, it'll take a few seconds, but then eventually the ref will come in and count to three. But they had like a lot of stuff to do before they got to the point of Tyson coming in and counting to three.
Totally. Yeah,
Yeah.
there was still the I think he went for the elbow first, didn't he?
Yeah, I well yeah, he he's, I think Austin does like a bunch of like he slams him in the turnbuckles and does some stomps, and then Michaels takes control with the flying forearm and then hits the elbow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a
Yeah.
lot to do,
And
yeah.
Michaels also got back body drop, so they do. Yeah, I mean, it's probably three, maybe 2 or 3 minutes worth of stuff. And yeah, the crowd, I think the crowd was a little bit like, you know, I went so long that the crowd was like a little like not flat for it, but was just like, you know, like, hey, we're not used to this exactly, you know, kind of
This
thing.
was one of the first things that I remembered from this match was how, for most of the match, the crowd is pretty dead. Like, they're not dead dead, but like they're not going crazy. Like there's a few Austin chants and stuff, but like for the majority of the match, especially leading up to, like you're mentioning, leading up to the finish, there is not a lot of action going on in the crowd. And I couldn't figure it out. Like, I was trying to remember what other matches even happened on this card, and if, you know, it was a situation where the match before it was, you know, drained everybody, and I think it was Undertaker and Kane, but I don't think that would have had the power to like take away from Austin and Michaels for like Austin's first title. Like, I don't know.
My guess is probably just it was a different style of match than they were expecting, or maybe part of it might have been the crowd miking or whatever. Like I recall throughout the show, like the it was not like the world's, you know, best crowd ever. So
Right. Yeah.
and I don't know, just the way Austin was so popular then, and so I just, you know, I mean, it's not like the match is bad. I mean, it's not the
No,
greatest
it's.
WrestleMania match by any means, but it's right in the middle, maybe even a little bit, you know, in the upper half, I would say.
Yeah, it's a good match, but definitely like hurt, or at least the one thing I took from it, from rewatching it, was that the crowd was definitely taken out of it for some bizarre reason. Yeah.
But they do. I mean, when they do the finisher, when it's been replayed a lot on WWE television over the years of, you know, Michaels going for the super kick counter into the stunner, and then Tyson, you know, slides in and counts the pin, and then raises Austin's hand, and then of course, you know, Austin tossing the Austin 316 t-shirt on to him, and then of course, as you described before, Michaels getting up and then getting punched in the face. So. And
Punch right in the
that's
face.
all good stuff, you know. Yeah, I don't, you know, you asked me before kind of what I thought about, you know, Tyson actually in Austin kind of being, you know, not really friends, I guess, but just, you know, obviously being allies. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess it, I don't know if it didn't undermine Austin at all, but it was sort of like against his character a little bit.
Yeah, he's
But
never supposed to be friends with anybody.
right,
That's
yeah, I
like,
mean, you know, and he, obviously they kind of, you know, ended up being buddies here, but.
yeah. And even leading up to the WrestleMania, Austin, his biggest gripe was that Tyson was being called the baddest man on the planet, and he was upset that that's not like that's him, like that's supposed to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. So like there is like an issue between them, but I don't know, like it's out of all of the other things you could call them on, like that is not one of them. Like they Austin and Tyson, you could assume that there is like some kind of like mutual respect for each other or something, and that's fine by
It
me.
was per
I
it was
don't know.
perfectly fine. Yeah, it was
Yeah.
just, you know, like it would not have been like the ending that I would have expected, you know, but
Yeah.
you know, may probably, you know, well, you know, they didn't want Austin to stunner Tyson, or Tyson wouldn't have wanted that or whatever, you know,
Yeah.
which is
You
fine.
can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me, we didn't want to talk about the great the right after Royal Rumble segment, when Tyson was first on Raw.
Right.
And then you know, they you know, and Vince is out there, and this is before like Vince is like the Mr. McMahon thing. So Vince is still pretty much like the geeky announcer, although he hadn't been announcing for a while. And you know, he'd showed obviously some of like the real Vince, or the character Vince, or however you want to put it, with some of the Montreal stuff. But you know, you were still like, that was kind of the exception, and the, you know, the old Vince was still the Vince you were used to. So you have, you know, you have Austin, or I'm sorry, Vince introducing Tyson, and then and the ring is full, well, you know, of, you know, I guess, like,
Entourage.
yeah, I think Patterson, well, yeah, it's Tyson's entourage, and I think Patterson and Briscoe are out there, and maybe Slaughter, you know, he was still the commissioner on
Right.
TV. So and then I think maybe that Vince is about to make a big announcement involving Tyson, maybe involving WrestleMania. And then Austin comes out, and then gets in Tyson's face, and you know, gives him the fingers and pushes him, and you know, and then my favorite part of it is just like Vince like freaking out, like screaming, like, "You ruined it, you ruined it."
That is the best part of it all. Like, I mean, the whole thing is amazing, but how upset Vince McMahon is, like, he is just crying on the apron, trying, I think he's trying to kick Austin. He's
Yes,
trying to
I
kick him
believe
from the
so.
apron, how angry he is, and nothing nothing can make me happier than an irate Vince McMahon.
Yes.
He is an amazing, like, I don't even want to say performer. I think he's just an amazing psychopath. He's just hilarious to watch.
Yes. He's very good in that role, and you know that's a pretty good yeah. I mean, that was the best angle they did involving that WrestleMania. And, although they had some good ones, and then when Tyson came back, that was when he the shock of him joining DX, you know, and setting that up, and I, you know, all that stuff was very well done and very well paced. And
yeah,
like one thing is, like, they didn't do too much with Austin and Michaels, and some of that might have been because I don't think Michaels was on all the TV stuff.
Right,
he wasn't there every week necessarily. So
yeah, I remember very little. The one image that I can picture in my head is Austin tied up in the ropes with DX around him, like shoving the title in his face and stuff.
Okay,
like I do remember that from Raw, but like I think. What I want to say was that how I still am trying to like piece together in my head how you could have something as strong as Austin and Tyson like going at it in the ring on Raw, just kick things off, and then fast forward to WrestleMania where the crowd is kind of, you know, like they want Austin to win because when he wins they lose it, like they go crazy, but during the match there's no real like. You know, people aren't like anticipating every move. Like, there's a very calm atmosphere for something that should be off the charts. You know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe part of it because it wasn't like necessarily like a balls out fight. I mean, it was more you know, it was kind of a mix. There was some of the brawling, but a lot of it was sort of the technical style, which really Austin had moved away from at that point. So it was more Michael's style match than it was Austin's style match. I think.
Totally. Yeah. There's a lot of you know. Yeah, working the leg and stuff, and that's not generally like going to get people
there's body,
jumping out of their seats.
Right, there's
like,
more body parts.
Work that
stuff.
Leg.
Yeah, there's more technical stuff. There's obviously it's kind of focused around a lot of Michael's big bumps. Which the one thing about Michael's bumps is that I thought was weird is like he got up from a lot of them right away. It was like getting up and then fine. And you know we see that a lot today. You know because there people don't sell for very long in wrestling today. For that's a huge generalization, but I'm gonna go with it. And but then
I might even disagree with you on that. But we can go on.
But there are certain types of wrestlers who do that, and it's more common today than in 2011 than I think it was in 1998. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm completely off on that. But
only like maybe just because I'm picturing matches where guys will sell like a stomp for 10 minutes and it zooms in on John Cena's face.
Okay.
And like it's like, you know what I mean? Like I feel like wrestling today has a much more man, I wish I didn't start this conversation without not knowing how I was going to finish it. But like, I just feel like if I was watching a match today, I would see a lot more like waiting around while Randy Orton kind of, I don't mean to like use these guys or whatever, but like looks at his opponent and like watches him sell his pain while, you know, like in 98, I feel like there's a lot more actual wrestling happening.
Okay.
Like actually the two guys interacting, but I don't know. This is totally just, I'm going to ramble on forever and it's not going to get anywhere. So we should probably move on to a different part of that.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Yeah. Any closing thoughts, about this match?
I don't know. I still liked it. Like I had a good time rewatching it. And it is definitely the kind of match where a crowd, if they aren't going crazy for it, it can alter your opinion of the match, which is a weird thing with pro wrestling, where like you would think that a match is a good match no matter what.
Right.
But I will 100% enjoy something way, way more if the crowd is, you know, out of their seats for it. Even, no matter the quality of the match.
And
I feel like I can get sucked in with WWE a lot with that way. And I like that. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most exciting things about wrestling is watching other people be excited about it.
That's true. I mean, you know, there's some variation in there, but I mean, obviously if this had had like the, you know, Rock Hogan crowd, for instance, that kind of response, then obviously this probably would be remembered as one of the great matches of all time, but it's just merely, you know, a good to very good match because, you know, the action is good, but.
And then the question is, why didn't it have that reaction? And I can't figure it out. Like, I feel like I have to like, I don't know, like look through like old tapes and I don't know, mix chemicals together like a
Yeah.
scientist in a lab to figure out how that didn't work as
Yeah.
good as it should have,
I
you know?
don't. Yeah, and I don't think it was anything in the build, because I think the build itself was basically perfect. It was either just maybe they were just waiting for the inevitability of Austin to win the title and
That
just,
might have been it.
you
That,
know.
you know what? In retrospect, that probably was it, because they were super happy when he won, but they didn't really. And there was actually, to be fair, there weren't. This wasn't a match full of near falls. There was really just one pinfall.
That's true. Yeah, there were a couple. Yeah, Austin had a couple off of like the when he would counter the attacks on the knees and stuff. But basically, yeah, there were not a whole lot. That's true. So, all right. Well, yeah, it's a entertaining match, and definitely a recommended watch. So,
If you
thank.
want to see Mike Tyson do the suck it sign really weirdly, like he always does, he
Yeah.
does it a bunch in this match. So go check that
Yeah, definitely. All right,
out.
everyone, thanks for listening, and check out the next edition tomorrow.